Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Romans 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. This is the text. The season of Epiphany has begun. Last week we celebrated the coming of the wise men. And as we do each Sunday or each year on the Sunday after the day of Epiphany, today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. And this is a very big day in the life of the church. Our baptism is always to be at the forefront of our mind. We live each day under the grace of our baptism. And for me, this year, that is taking on special meaning as I plan in a couple months, looking forward on Palm Sunday. Annalisa will join with four of her classmates as they confirm the faith of their baptism. Now, I've done this 17 times before, and confirmation day is always a joyous time. But I have to say, as a parent, I am very excited. There are milestones in our lives. When a child is born, that's a big event. Life is a miracle. When that child is reborn in baptism, that's an even bigger event. Life in Christ is the greater miracle. Listen to what St. Paul says. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You were born a sinner. You were baptized as a child of God. Our old Adam drowned and died in the waters of baptism. And as Paul says, you were crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Your life before baptism was not much of a life. Last week, I said that the season of Epiphany is a special time in the life of the church because it represents so much of our life in Christ. Our journey through this Epiphany season is a microcosm of our life in Christ. On Epiphany, Christ is revealed. He's made known to us. Like Jesus, we are baptized, albeit for different reasons than he was. Ours is a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It's where we become God's children, adopted, chosen by him. It is the guilt of sin and the word of promise. That's what brought the crowds to be baptized by John the Baptist, and that's what brought you and I to be baptized. It was also the guilt of sin and the word of promise which brought Jesus to be baptized. Now, Christ never sinned. He was blameless in that regard. But he was not innocent because he was guilty of all of our sin. His baptism was different than ours. At his baptism, he took upon himself all the sins of the world, none of which he had committed, carried them to Calvary, and allowed himself to be nailed to the cross as that perfect final sacrifice to cover and pay for all of those transgressions. He carried the guilt of sin. He chose to stand accused and place the burden of our sin upon his shoulders. And in exchange, he clothed us in his perfect righteousness and holiness. And that's what we receive in our baptism. It's a wonderful exchange. Now, through the rest of the Epiphany season, we will see Jesus further revealed as the Son of God and as our Savior through his miracles and finally the revealing of his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there before Peter and James and John, all that was hidden is made visible. The glory of God shines forth. The manifestation of what was inside of him all along is no longer suppressed. Christ is revealed as much as he can be on earth. This season of Epiphany, it's like our life. After baptism, in his life, Jesus was revealed more fully as he performed miracles and preached his word. After our baptism, he is revealed to us more fully through the hearing of his word, again and again, as we come to know him more and more, as scripture becomes open to us. And also through the miraculous, as we witness the events of his life that declare him to be the Son of God. But also, we get to participate in the miraculous as he comes to us in his body and blood under the form of bread and wine. But also in the miraculous that we find in our day-to-day life. Take a deep breath. Every breath is a miracle. This should not work. Your body is a technological marvel. And just like on the Mount of Transfiguration, the light of Christ is to shine forth. It is not to be hidden. The light and power of God that filled him was revealed. And ever since your baptism, the light of Christ and the power of God has been in you. It is not to be hidden. Let your light shine, that all may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven, as Jesus says on his Sermon on the Mount. Your body is more than just a technological marvel. Your body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit. Let the light that is in you shine forth. And as your body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit, treat it that way. St. Paul reminds us that after our baptism, our old Adam, having been buried with Christ, has risen that we too might walk in the newness of life. So we don't, as St. Paul says elsewhere, join ourselves to prostitutes, or for that matter, anyone to whom we are not married. And we are to show genuine love and care and concern, even to those who we don't think deserve it, because that's what Christ first did for you. And we are to forgive because Christ first forgave us. Now, this doesn't mean you have to go out and have sympathy for Adolf Hitler or Jeffrey Dahmer. To walk in newness of life, as Paul says, he's talking about dwelling with the people you see right here. Your family, your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you hate or despise another child of God or refuse to forgive, this calls into question your own forgiveness and justification. When I was a pastor in Wisconsin, I dealt with a number of situations where members of a family or members of the church wouldn't speak to one another. I had these two old brothers who had not spoken to each other in 40 years. They lived a mile apart. I don't think either of them could remember how all that started, but neither of them was going to be the first to give in. In that town, when I got there, because of a quarrel over an issue at the public school that had blown up about a year or two before I arrived, there were people who were longtime friends who wanted nothing to do with each other. This was not just a social issue for the town. This was a spiritual issue. If you say of a brother or sister in Christ, oh, I don't like them, this is a spiritual issue. This is a forgiveness issue. This calls into question a person's understanding of what it means to live under the grace of baptism. You were baptized into his death. And though you did not deserve it, you were raised to walk in newness of life. Our baptism is always to be at the forefront of our mind. We live each day under the grace of our baptism. Christ has already carried that guilt to the cross. Whatever guilt you have, or whatever guilt you are assigning to one of your other brothers and sisters in Christ, remember that Christ has already carried that to the cross. As Christ has been revealed to you, and as he has made your body the temple of his Holy Spirit, let that light shine. It is not to be hidden. Just as each breath of life is a miracle, walking in the newness of life in Christ is an even greater miracle. You have been reborn. Share the joy of the gospel as you live daily under the grace of your baptism. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.